Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, the only cure for our Basketball Jones, Hail Varsity's Jacob Padilla on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone, baby.
All right, we're joined on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline by our good friend Jacob Padilla of Herd at Sports, who's covering everything under the sun. Jacob, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. How's it out there with you guys?
It's good. It's good. We're baseball's about to start, which I know you don't care about, but
yeah, any baseball takes, Jacob?
Congratulations to those who like it.
What a take.
That's very nice.
It is very kind of him.
Hey, I appreciate that a lot. Yeah, that seems like it's about probably it, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk hoops. We got hoops coming up tomorrow, and then we'll sort of look back at last weekend as well first. I felt as if it was like the most stress, partly because I was sitting next to Nick Baugh, John Bishop the entire game, that I've ever felt during a basketball game. How did it feel to you watching it at home, and then where would you kind of put it, stacking it up against some other wildly intense Creighton basketball games that we've seen in the past?
Yeah, it's definitely up there. There was just a whole range of emotions, I'm sure, for Creighton fans watching that. It had to be frustrating watching that entire first half. Heck, the first 35 minutes, whatever it is, just knowing how many good looks they were getting and just seeing them not go in. And this is a game that they should have probably had been able to take control of early on, and they just were never able to. And then late in the game, when they went down that 58-52, I'm sure there are a lot of people feeling, a lot of people feeling very nervous at that point, and a lot had already kind of decided that it was over with. And then to rally to get that thing to overtime, and then just how tight it was throughout the first overtime, and then just the onslaught to open the second, like just the range of emotions for fans. I'm sure it was all included in that game, which some of the other great games that Creighton has had in the past, I don't know if it's quite had all of that, like everything that game entailed. And it's, you look at the KenPom tension rankings or whatever it is, like Creighton's keeps popping up near the top of that list this season. And I'm sure Creighton fans probably need to go get some checkups at the end of the season, check in with their doctors just to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, you know, Jacob, what's funny is the further that we get from the game now, which was played Saturday, so what, we're 5 days removed, and because it went into double overtime and what happened at the end of regulation and the comeback, the first overtime, and then obviously the dominating run in the second overtime, I feel like we haven't talked a whole lot about the first half, and that's like if they would have lost, how much of the conversation would have been on all of those great looks that they had from three and how many of them they missed. And I wonder, like, that's not going to happen again. If they get that many good looks tomorrow, I know that they're going to make more. And so I don't really know if there's a question in here, more just an observation of that first half. You know, it could have ended up being one of the more memorable ones for all the wrong reasons, and yet it oddly became a little forgettable.
Well, and so, yeah, you kind of feel confident, oh, they're not going to do that twice in a row. But I think Creighton fans, just we've seen it a few times this season, just with, for whatever reason, the shots just wouldn't go in. I mean, that's half Ashworth's season are, that stretch there was absolutely torching the Nets. And then for a longer stretch of the season, it's like, why can this guy not get an open three to go down? Like, he's got to be leading the country in rim outs. Like, shots that looked great coming out of his hand, catch there, get every bit of the rim and pop out for whatever reason. So, like, that's something we've seen from this team from time to time, and it's resulted in some losses where, yeah, it felt like they were getting a lot of good looks, but they just weren't going in. So I think that's always in the back of Creighton fans' minds. Well, if they're just ice cold today, like we've seen them capable of being, then we're going to be in trouble. But, yeah, you kind of hope that this was kind of that instance and that they're able to work through it, although you never know kind of with the changing venues. Kind of weird, though, because, like, you would think, oh, the first game would be the one where maybe they're feeling out the sight lines and everything, and the second game you're more comfortable, you come back and shoot it at a high rate, but it was the exact opposite there in Pittsburgh. So we'll see kind of how that works out in Detroit. But I don't think they're going to get quite as many clean looks as they did against Oregon in that first half, because Tennessee is one of the best defenses in the country. But at the same time, you look at kind of the three-point rate, and teams have taken a lot of threes against them. So there might be some openings there, and if there are, they're going to have to knock them down.
Jacob, just one more going back to that Oregon game. When you think about, like, the plays from it, I think a lot of the stuff that sticks out is – the stuff that happened in double overtime, whether it's, you know, Kalkbrenner's three or, you know, Ashworth hitting a three or Jason Green or, you know, Trey's bank three. Like, a lot of that stuff, that kind of pops to the mind as far as plays that happened in that game. But when you look at the ways that Creighton got to that point, got to double overtime, there was a whole bunch of stuff that had to go right for them. What was the thing that happened, or like the sequence where you're like, where that was the most important on that path to getting them to that point?
I really think it was the Stephen Ashworth three after falling behind 58-52. Like, that's the game starting to get away from them at that point. An empty possession there, a bucket for Oregon, and then now you're in real trouble chasing points at that point. If they had gotten a clean look and it hadn't gone down, you wonder what that does for their confidence. And then you start to press, and maybe the looks down the stretch aren't as good, and then you're in real trouble. And I mean, you can go check out the Blue Jay breakdown page on herdatsports.com, because I did a story on the ATO plays for Creighton in that one, because they were just ridiculous in their execution and production after timeouts. And that was one of them where they went down, got the bucket, went ahead by six, and you got the timeout there, and Greg McDermott drew something up against the matchup zone and got Stephen Ashworth an open look, stepped right into it and knocked it down. And that was huge, because at that point, you got a chance that game's heading towards 3-4 possessions there. And now suddenly it's back down to one possession and are able to kind of chip their way back into it. So they're obviously the buckets for the tie. It was Baylor Shireman's fadeaway jumper. Trey Alexander had a big one. I think it was an overtime that tied it up or whatever it is. So you had some guys that actually tied it up. That kind of stick out, but I think that Ashworth three that kind of started, all right, stabilize things. We're good, guys. We're going to be okay here. I think that was probably the biggest shot of the game leading up to that second overtime.
Jacob, what's a part of the matchup tomorrow versus Tennessee that you like most from the Creighton perspective, and what's the thing that's the biggest concern?
Yeah, I mean, just as a fan of basketball, the like Dalton Connect Baylor Shireman battle is going to be a lot of fun. Just kind of see those two go at it. I'm assuming we're going to see Baylor on Connect at least to start with, and kind of see how that works. Really interesting thing for me, just kind of looking at it statistically, is Tennessee is one of the best assist teams in the country in terms of just their assist rate. They're 13th in percentage of their field goals that are assisted. And we've seen in the past that Creighton, the way they defend, they really make you win one-on-one and kind of lower the assist rate just because of the way they defend and where they funnel you and all that type of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see kind of that battle. It's like, all right, who's able to play the way that they want to? Can Tennessee continue to run their actions where they're getting good looks, they're running Connect off pin downs, and Ziegler's getting in the paint and dropping off to Adu there for easy buckets? Or are they going to force, or is Green going to be able to kind of blow some of that stuff up and force you to go win in the mid-range on in-between and those type of things? So, because you look at Tennessee, they're solid across the board, but they're not like elite anywhere offensively where they truly stand out outside of kind of that. And they don't give away live ball turnovers, which doesn't really matter because Green doesn't force those anyway. So it'll be that. And then defensively, I am curious because they are one of the, I mean, teams have shot 31% from them from three. But they've also taken 42% of their attempts are from three. So they allow a lot of threes, or teams at least have forced a lot of threes against them. I'll be curious to see kind of what quality of those looks are they going to be for Creighton. Because if they're able to generate a lot of good looks, I certainly like their chances.
Yeah, Jacob Adilla of Herd at Sports. Jacob, we will let you go, my friend. I appreciate it. Enjoy the basketball this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have fun out there.
Thank you, Jacob.
Jacob Padilla of Herd at Sports.
Speaking of having fun out here, Pedro texts in.
Yeah.
Hi guys. Right now I am sanding my kitchen cabinet doors and all of my kitchen cabinets. I'm living my life vicariously through you. Thanks for a great show. You guys seem to be having a great time.
Yeah, well, I think I'm glad that came off
yes.
the right way.
We're having an awesome time.
It is starting to get warmer.
It's starting to get warmer. We also have the heater on in here.
Oh, what?
Remember,
we do?
Yes, we turned it on earlier, and you said thank you. I'm a little chilly.
Oh, well.
Wow.
Just know that, let the record show that I did not request the heater.
I turned it on myself. All we got to do is turn the switch down. It'll be fine.
We're going outside at some point.
Yeah, I didn't realize this. I thought we were inside on the couch the whole day.
I did too.
Papa needs some more sun.
We'll go out there. It'll be nice.
Okay.
I want to try what this show over here is doing.
Yeah, you want to try with the our reverse?
Though I guess then we can't watch the games, which are about to play.
Dude, they're about to throw a first pitch in Baltimore.
Yeah. In like 20 minutes, right?
It's going to be awesome.
I mean, there's
baseball.
Playoff
baseball,
hockey
Nick.
Going on right now.
Yeah, UMass and Denver tied at zero.
Screw Denver, man. Right. I can't stand those guys. Beat the Mavs in the NCHC
final. I like the city,
final.
Though.
It's embarrassing to be an ice hockey team based in a cold climate and be bad at hockey.
Wow.
Tough
yeah.
look.
But unfortunately, they're kind of good.
Yeah, indeed they
kinda
are.
Kind of makes it sad. All right. We'll come back. Poll questions.
Oh, my gosh. The show's over?
I think so.
Time to go have fun. See you later, everybody. Josh Hotson coming up next on Unsportsmanlike
Conduct. Oh, that'll be great, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Finally, let me cook.
Yeah, baby.
Poll questions will tell you what to watch next on 1620 The Zone.